And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
There I heard
Well, the scene is an unusual scene here. Now we have Jesus, who is walking with his disciples, and he comes to two brothers. And Jesus is being asked to settle a family dispute. Which one is going to get the inheritance? And Jesus didn't want to be bothered with a family dispute. That wasn't what he was on earth for. In fact, the truth of the matter is, when you look at it, people, these two men represent what a lot of people are in our world. They want Jesus to be their servant and not their savior. But Jesus was teaching his disciples a far larger, greater lesson than just that of trying to settle a family dispute on who's going to get the inheritance. Inheritance. The focus in the passage is not on what we get on this earth. The focus is not what we can get for ourselves. Many have the idea that that's exactly what's going to bring happiness for them. That's what they're looking for. What makes me happy? Well, give me more things and that makes me happy. So at Christmas time, we want more things. At birthday time, we want more things. And the more we get, it seems like the more we have to get, because if we're going to be happy and things bring us happiness, we got to keep having things. The truth of the matter is, things don't bring happiness. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's easy. Yard sales are last year's "I just got to have it." How many people have bought things and paid big money only to sell them at a yard sale 2 years from now? So I hope whatever they buy, they keep it really good, because I'll be glad to pay a dime for it. Mark Twain once described civilization as a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. And I think he's got it right. But I want to ask you today, if happiness is wrapped up in things, then why are people happy? We have a lot of things. There's a lot of things we have. Because we all know, the truth of the matter is, we know that things don't bring happiness. But Jesus wasn't dealing with the thing, with that part of it. He wasn't talking about things necessarily. He was talking about something deeper. There's a heart issue involved here. Something in the heart. Now, the best way to describe it and really help us to understand that is because Jesus actually, in dealing with two, he introduces us to a third person who has the same problem the other two have. Because both of these men were greedy, and he introduces us to a third person in this story through a parable. This man also was greedy, and it's probably best described, and I help you to illustrate, I'm going to use a little object lesson here for you. And let's take this rope here. Brother Shepherd, if you'll help me with this rope here, let's just kind of take this rope and stretch it out as far as we can. Okay. I'm going to go over here on the other side. Stretch that rope out as far as we can get it. It's a 50-foot rope. One way to get rid of your staff, isn't it? All right, thank you there. Now, we have this 50-foot rope, and the truth of the matter is, on one end of this rope, we have just a little black line. We're gonna say that this rope represents a timeline. And this part of the rope is your life. And the rest of the rope is eternity. Because the truth of the matter is, the way most people live their life is for that part. That's all they think about. They forget that there's an eternity waiting for them. They don't think about that. They're more concerned with, well, boy, if I just get here and get to my retirement, man, things are going to be so much better. I know I'll be happier. But what about out here? Jesus said, the problem with these three men is they're concerned with this. They forget about the rest. And you know, I'm convinced today that there are a lot of people that are sitting in this room that you're more concerned about here than here. You really aren't thinking about this. You're thinking about this. How am I going to get through the next day? How am I going to take care of that particular responsibility? How am I going to do this? And we're more wrapped up in this right here. You know what God says? I'm not concerned about this. I've got you covered. This is what I'm concerned about. This is what I want you to be concerned about. Because the problem is, yes, we live here, but we're going to live there forever. And here's the issue. It's a heart issue. Jesus said it's a heart problem. That's the bottom line. And for a man to live his life for only here, the Bible said he's a covetous person. That's why it says, beware of covetousness. That's a heart issue. And when we look at it in Scripture, honestly, God is telling us that if we're forgetting about all this out here and forget about all this out here, we're living only for this life, we are going to miss out on what God says life is really all about. What makes me happy is not over there, it's out here. That's what Jesus wants them to understand. What happens, though, if a person spends all of their time living for this little black line, which would be his life, and just for that temporal time, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever it is that the Lord allows us on earth, if we only live for that moment, then we're going to find ourselves having a total misunderstanding of what life is all about. We've already missed it. So I want to call your attention to three deficiencies when we're thinking that the temporal is more important than the eternal. Write down point number one. It's in your notes there if you want to open up your notes in your bulletin. Number one, for a person to think that way, he has a distorted view of life. It's totally distorted. Because the fact is that with that distorted view, in this case, this man is a man who Jesus introduces us to, who has a carnal pursuit of things. That's what it means to be covetous. That he has a carnal pursuit of more. In fact, covetousness means that a person has an unquenchable thirst to get more and more of something we think that we need in order to be truly satisfied. Boy, if I can just get more. You ever notice technology is one of those kind of little tricks to get you? Good night, man. You know, you get this phone and then you got to get the next phone, and man, before your contract's up, there's another phone comes out, and then you get that phone, you download, you get a new software. Now you got a software that goes into that phone, and then that phone doesn't work right, so then you have to get another phone. And you know what you find you're doing is you're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a phone you probably really don't need. What's the phone supposed to do? Hello? Goodbye? You know? I mean, you know, this iPhone 4 comes out. It's supposed to be iPhone 5. Everybody waits months for iPhone 5. Now it's iPhone 4S. Hey, listen, they're marketers to get money out of our pockets. Somewhere along the way, we're missing it. You see, we have this idea, I've just got to have more. I want more of this. I want more of that. I want to have this, and I got to have that. And so the Bible says that man who lives for the temporal, a man who puts his focus down here, a man who spends all of his time, all of his energies, and all of his efforts for the short time he's on the planet, for this world, he's missing out on all of eternity. Because he finds himself just pursuing more and more for himself. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. That you're not to be wrapped up in this world, because it may be that you might think that money can buy you things that can make you happy. The truth of the matter is, wealth doesn't make you happy. If that were the case, Hollywood would be the happiest place in all the world. That's true. In fact, it's strange. Have you noticed this? You know, we're in an NBA. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I'm sort of a sports fan, like, big time. And do you know that we're in an NBA lockdown? I don't know. I was reading the paper real quick this morning just before I came in. I try not to read carnal things like that, but every now and then it just kind of slips up on me. But I can't remember how many billions of dollars right now that the NBA is dealing with. I can't remember, a billion, something like that. Does that sound right? That may be a little bit high. It's a lot of money. I heard they were interviewing, I believe it was Carmelo Anthony. They were asking him a question. Here's what they said to him. They're asking him about what do you feel like about losing, about money and where he is with money, you know, and what's it like? And he said, well, you know, he says, yeah, I make, yeah, he said, last week I lost $1.9 million. And he says, you know what, I know everybody thinks, you know, all about this money and stuff. He says, but, you know, you do realize that even though I lost $1.9 million, I'm still losing. The average man doesn't have $1.9 million to lose. You see, the point of the matter is, you know, we just, how much? It's a quest for more, a thirst for more and more. Let me ask you a question today. How much is enough? How much more before our buckets are full? How much more do we have to have? What is it that we, how much do we think we really need? Have you ever noticed that whenever you get, you know, like it seems like someone gets a raise or their, maybe their money goes up, and I know that's something unheard of right now, but let's just say when you, on a normal, you know, normal year, years ago, how many would say, they always say, I wish I'd have had it, instead of it being 5%, I wish it was 8%. Or I wish it was 10%. Or I wish it was 12%. I heard the other day that the Postal Service has lost $4 billion last year. $4 billion. And they said this, that they said that the stamps are going to go up by 1 cent, but it's not going to be enough. And I was thinking in my mind, how much is enough? You see, it's the carnal pursuit of more, and that's because life has a distorted value when we are driven by living for that. And then there's a confused perspective of the spiritual. This man thought that all of his concerns and cares should be wrapped up in the material things of life. He convinced himself that life is more about what I can get. But Jesus says this in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you realize that God came to this earth that he might give us life? Jesus is life. Jesus is the only way that a man can live and have joy in his life, because happiness doesn't come from the great deal of wealth or more things, but happiness comes as we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. A British couple who were very rich and very wealthy, when they died, they put on their tombstone these words: what we spent, we had. What we saved, we lost. What we gave, we have. They understood. Here was a man in this passage of Scripture, and these two brothers, and the man that Jesus in the parable is telling us was a man who was totally neglecting his spiritual, his eternal life, because he focused only on the physical. So one deficiency of a man who lives that way and is wrapped around greed is a man who thinks that life is in the abundance of things. But there's one more deficiency I want you to consider with me. He has a deceptive view of possessions. He's deceived himself. Can I get you to go back and look at with me, please? And we're in Luke chapter 12 for those of you who came in just a little bit late. We're looking at this man who Jesus is telling us about a man who is possessed with things. And here's what he says. Can I get you to look at with me, please, at verse number 17? Luke 12, verse 17. I want you to notice something most interesting. He thought within himself, he said. Now, I want you to notice the pronouns. And pronouns are those words that refer to self. And notice what he says. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He said, "This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods." Now, what's the problem? It's me, isn't it? It's all about me. Here's the problem also. The problem is, do you realize that when you die, you're going to leave it all behind? You can have that big house, you can have that beautiful car, you have that big bank account, that motorcycle in your garage, that big camper in the backyard. When you die, you're going to leave it all. Every one of those things that you are consumed in getting will die. Am I against those things? Absolutely not. Give me your motorcycles, I'll take them. Roger, no way, huh? No way. Roger, he's giving up his motorcycle. Yeah, that's right. He'll bury you on your motorcycle. But here's what I'm saying. You know the truth of the matter is? Everything you got, everything you own, including your life, is given to you on loan from God. You are a steward. You are a manager of what you have. You can't take it with you. It's only there for a short time. You're just managing it. How are you managing what you have? How are you can't hang on to it. And what Jesus is trying to get them to understand is that here's a man that thought that those were his possessions. And what's really interesting in the parable is Jesus was saying, this man, it's not about him trying to take care of his needs. What he is he's got so much stuff, he doesn't know what to do with it. So he says, I got to build bigger barns just to put all my stuff in. How much is enough? Jesus wants us to realize, how much is enough? Because the truth of the matter is, when you consider what he's saying in this passage is, he's saying you and I, we all need to understand that these things that we enjoy in this life is what God gives to us freely, and we don't possess them, and we certainly don't want them to possess us. Because the truth of the matter is, wealth cannot, letter A, buy happiness. You realize that prosperity brings certain traps with it? There are certain dangers to have a lot of money. For example, Jesus teaches us that wealth can choke the Word of God out of our life. If we're a believer in Christ, it's not a fact that God wants all of us to be poor and broke and have nothing. Because God does bless sometimes and gives people wealth, and people can handle that. But Jesus is warning us that if we're not careful, that money can choke the Word of God out of our life. In Matthew chapter 13, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Well, that's a danger. Maybe the reason why God keeps preachers so poor and broke is because he keeps them from letting the word of God be choked out of their life, and he becomes unfruitful. I'm a little concerned about any preacher that gets a lot of wealth, because that can get you every time. Wealth creates snares and temptations. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, I put it in your notes there for you, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love, now notice this, the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, it's a heart issue. It's about the heart. It's what I focus on. It's what my heart drives me. Is it about eternity or the temporal? Is it all about that which I can get for me? No, it should be, what does God want me to do with what He's given to me? Wealth can create a false sense of security. You know, some people think, you know, if I have a lot of money, man, I'll be so secure. Everything will go well for me. I just want to feel really good, have a huge bank account, maybe $5 million. That'll make me really happy. The richest man in all the world said this. Listen to this. Here's what he said. The richest man who ever lived said these words. Will thou not set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know what God, you know what Solomon said? Solomon said, you know, I got a lot of money. I've got wealth, but guess what happens? If I put my eyes on that, it's just going to fly away like an eagle toward the sky. We all know that, don't we? Someone said one time to me, you know, money doesn't talk, preacher. I said, oh, yes, it does. In my book, it does. It says goodbye all the time. Some of you can relate, amen?
Amen?
But the truth of the matter is, what Solomon is saying is, hey, wealth can't buy happiness for you. It can't. Number two, write this one down. Wealth can't buy your health either. Boy, there are just some people, wouldn't it be nice if you just had the money to take care of your health? I was thinking the other day when Steve Jobs died. This guy had money, didn't he? But he couldn't buy health, could he? And I don't want to be, you know, kind of picking on him, because I know that he's all touched America, and all of you are carrying some kind of a digital device because of Steve Jobs. But I do want to remind you of this. His wealth could not buy his health. Wealth can't do it. You can have all the money in all the world, but you can't buy health. There's no way you can do that. And thirdly, you can't buy time. Do you know that one day all of us are going to die? Every one of us, we're going to die. You know that end is going to take place. Remember this rope I showed you? This timeline we're on? You say, I don't like that, preacher. Hey, I'm just preaching it. This is where we are. We're on this road. We might be here, we might be here, we might be here. I don't know where we are, but the truth of the matter is, we're on this road. And you can't buy more time. You say, oh yes, I can. I'll get a new heart. That heart may fail. Can I remind you of this? Your health and your life is given to you by God, just like your money is. It's on loan to you. What is Jesus teaching us then? We'll look at it in a minute. But what Jesus wants us to understand is that's right where we are, because you can't buy those things. You see, wealth and abundance and all of those things has a deceptive nature to them, because we have the idea that, man, if I can just get more possessions, I can get more for me, I'm going to be happier. But happiness doesn't come from those things. What's Jesus trying to tell us? He wants us to realize that greed can distort our view of life. We think, man, we've got to have this. And so what we're doing is we're living every day as if I got to have the next thing. I got to get this. I got to get that. I got to have that. I got to have this. I got to get the new, latest video game, the latest computer, the latest this, that, and the other. Got to have this job, this position, whatever. Ah, it shouldn't be that way.
Greed has a distorted, has a way of distorting our view of life. It has a way of deceiving us of possessions. And then thirdly, as a greed has a way of destroying our view of eternity. Here was a man that lived for the temporal. Perhaps he thought by ignoring eternity he would go away. How many times have people said to me, you know, preacher, let me go back over here again. I know I'm beating this up, but I'm sorry. It says so much for me. How many people said, you know, I wish there's somehow or another, I just clipped this right off. I remember several years ago, I was visiting with a lady. I was telling this lady about Christ. Here's what she said to me. I told her, you know, I said, I want you to realize, ma'am. I said, you know, the fact is that none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. The Bible says for all sin to come short of the glory of God. She said, yeah, I understand that. I said, you know, the truth of the matter is because we're sinners, the Bible says we're going to die and go to hell. That's the punishment. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, that's what the Bible says. And I said, that's an awful part of it. I said, but the best part is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what that means, ma'am, is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And by rising in the third day, he made the payment for my sin and your sin. And that by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can go to heaven. She said to me, preacher, that sounds really good, but I don't even want to think about that right now. And here's what she said. Listen to me. I have too much living to do. This is her living. And I just want to ask her, what about this? What about this? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Look how much more this is. We sing a song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then the song says, when we've been there 10,000 years. 10,000. Hey, if somebody offered you $70, $80, or 10,000, what would you take? That's what I thought. I thought most of us would take the 10,000. You can have the 80 if you want, but why is it that when it comes to life, we all want to focus on the 80? You see, they're neglecting eternity. And we all think, well, you know, that's really sad that the world would think like that. You know what's really sad is how many Christians think like that too. That's why they never give a dime to God. They won't tithe. They refuse to tithe because they think they got to live for this right here. I got to retire. This is the retirement. I got to take care of, you know, the future. This is the future. Do you realize that one day we're all going to stand before God and give account of what we did with everything we had? We stand before God and God's going to say, well, how'd you do with your money? Boy, I put it into, man, I tell you, you know that camper I had? What about that? What about how much? What did you give to missionaries? God, you know, I didn't make that much. What did you give to your church to support the ministry of the church? Well, Lord, you know, the church, I mean, after all, they don't need any money. They can get by. You're the one that's supposed to provide, God. Why are you asking me? God says, but I chose you to provide. You see, somehow or another, we've got this whole temporal eternity all confused in our mind where we're going with it. Here was a man that lived for the temporal. Sometimes it invades the church. We start living for this life. And Jesus said, life is not about that. That doesn't bring happiness. That doesn't bring joy in your life. That's not what it's all about. He was a man that lived for himself. The description of a worldly man is a man that lays up treasures for himself, for his body, for the world, in opposition to God. Jesus says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Here is a man that's rich toward himself and poor toward God. To be rich toward God means that we lay up treasures in heaven. That means we receive Christ as Savior and we start laying up treasures in heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere along this course in my life, and I don't know how long I have, but I'm 14 years old, I got saved. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, this made all that changed. Somewhere or the other, when I turned at 14, when someone took me to a church service, I heard the Bible preached just like I'm preaching it right now. My life was changed, and that's why I'm standing here before you today, because not only did my life change for this part, but also that part. And can I tell you this? This part is more important than that part. When I got saved, man, God changed my life. And man, I started living for this. Laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up that which matters the most. Because I know that one day, ultimately, that graveyard, they're going to be waiting for me over there. I do funerals in town. I did one this week for a lady that died, and talked to her son on Friday, I believe it was. Thursday or Friday, I can't remember. I lost track of time this week. And as I was talking to the family, and they were all gathered around this little graveside service out here at the cemetery, just telling them about Christ and how Christ made the difference in their life, and her son was standing there. He says, you know what? The only thing that did matter, he never told me about how much money she had, what house she lived in. He didn't tell me any of that kind of thing. You know what he said? The most important thing about my mom I know is that she knew Jesus Christ as Savior, and she's in heaven. And I said, praise the Lord. That's what matters. Look, folks, what God is saying is this. You know what makes you happy? Knowing Him. That's what's going to make you happy. That's what's going to matter. To meet Christ. You could start today. It could start with you today, right now. The difference can happen for you just like it did for me when I was 14. And just like it's happened to many of us in this room, it can start with you right now. The focus now goes from that which, really, to be honest with you, is not what makes me happy anyway that matters. It's what makes God happy. That's the difference. Jim Elliot said these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." A test of our heart is, how do we give, and what do we do with God? Or how generous are we? Are we hoarding everything for the temporal, only to sell it in a yard sale in 2 years? On March 11th, 1856, Henry David Thoreau wrote in his journal these words, "That man is the richest whose pleasures are the cheapest." A man is rich in proportion to the number of the things which he can afford to let alone. God issues a warning. Beware of covetousness. You want to be happy? Receive Christ today. That matters. That's what is the difference. Meet Christ. You want to be happy? Lay up treasures in heaven. Maybe today you might need to confess. You know, I've been pretty covetous. I have. I've been pretty covetous. Can I tell you this? I think America is a covetous nation. How many of you agree with that? Would you agree with that? That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. That's why we have such a huge indebtedness. We got debts on things we just think we cannot live without. Only the fact is we forgot what all the debt is that we cannot live without. Look, we need Christ. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be mean and try to ruin your life. I'm trying to help your life. Jesus says, "I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Will you receive Christ today? Let's pray.